The following is a home program entitled Importance of God-Centered Society, given by His Grace, Sriman Sankarshan Dasathikari, recorded on June 20th, 2015, in Melbourne, Australia.
Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Jataparakamalam Shri Guru Vaishnavamscha Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Raghunatan Vitam Tam Sajivam Sadaitam Savadutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padam Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakan Vitamscha Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prestaya Bhutale Shrimate Bhakti Vedanta Swaminiti Namine Namaste Sarasvate Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Shunyavari Paschat Yadeshatarine. So, this Krishna consciousness movement is the most important movement for the re-spiritualization of the entire human society. The human society is at the present moment very much caught up in ever-increasing materialism. And because of that, the social fabric is disintegrating more and more over time. They want the kingdom of God without God, and they cannot have it. It's not possible. For a society to be harmonious and peaceful and prosperous in the long run, it must be a God-centered society. So God is being rejected now by the leaders. They are not making God the center anymore in the world society. Therefore, the world society is gradually disintegrating more and more into chaos. So this Hare Krishna movement is the most important movement for bringing peace and prosperity and happiness to the people of this planet. And if you can join with us in this movement by practicing Krishna consciousness, you'll be doing the greatest service for yourself, the greatest service for your family, the greatest service for your community, the greatest service for all human beings throughout the world. So we beg all of you to please take up very seriously this practice of Krishna consciousness, which is the order of Krishna in the Bhagavad Gita. Krishna explains in the Bhagavad Gita, machchita man gata prana bodhiyantak parasparam katayantashtamam nityam tashyanti chavramantacha. The thoughts of my pure devotees dwell in me. Their lives are surrendered unto me. And they derive great satisfaction and bliss by enlightening one another and conversing about me. So we encourage everyone to listen to the lecture. Some here are not listening, they're doing other things. This is very important. These are not my words. These are the words of Krishna. If we want actual happiness in life, we must give attention to the words of Krishna. We are too much caught up in our own individual pursuits. Those are okay. You have to have a livelihood. You can have a family. You have to take care of your family. There's no harm. But you have to understand that God comes first. You have to put God first in your life. If you put God second, you're not going to find the peace and happiness you actually desire. You will not find it. It's not possible. It's compared to the body. The belly is the place where all the food goes. By feeding the belly, then the food is distributed to all the parts of the body. If you try to feed the parts of the body separately, for example, smearing the rice on your forehead, you see, that won't work. You can't digest rice by smearing it on your forehead. You have to feed the rice to the belly. and then all the bodily parts will get the nourishment they need. So unless we actually give our loving energy to Krishna or God, we're not going to get the, not going to feel the love. We're not going to be able to share the love with others that will bring satisfaction to the self. So the science of bhakti, as described by Krishna in the Bhagavad Gita, is the essential knowledge that we require to be happy as individuals, as family units, as a community of people, and as a world population, a global population. We require to be connected with the teachings of Krishna. The Bhagavad Gita is the owner's manual that goes with the human form. It's like when you buy some fancy electronic equipment, you get an owner's manual. They used to give paper copies, now it's digital. But there's an owner's manual, a guide on how to use this product. So the owner's manual that comes with the human form is the Bhagavad Gita. This is given by the manufacturer of life itself. Krishna says, Aham sarvasya prabhava matak sarvam pravartate iti matva bhajante bang buddha bhava samanvataha. I am the source of all material and spiritual worlds. Everything emanates from me. The wise who know this perfectly engage in my devotional service and worship me with all their hearts. So everything that exists is actually coming from Krishna. He is the source of everything. Just as the sun is the source of all the light within the universe, Krishna is the source of everything that exists. So when you give your loving service to Krishna, when you chant his name with faith and in love, now you are connecting with the source of everything, and through that channel of Krishna, you're able to distribute pure love to yourself, to your family members, to your community, to all living entities throughout the entire universe. So this science is now lost in the modern day world. It was widely known in India 5,000 years ago, before the advent of the Kali Yuga. It was widely known. Even 80 years ago in India, it was widely known. 80 years ago in India, it's 80 years ago, let's see. Prabhupada in the 70s, that's 40, okay. 90 years ago, yeah. Prabhupada told us back in the 70s how 50 years ago in India, I mean the 20s when he was a young man, how in every village, in every town, in every evening, the people would gather to hear Ramayana and Mahabharata and Bhagavatam. That was everyone in every town and every village. That was done throughout all of India. You see, they would hear Bhagavatam, Ramayana, Mahabharata, and they would dream. They would go to sleep dreaming of these things. Even their sleep, they would be dreaming of the pastimes of Krishna and his pure devotees. This was the culture of India back in the 1920s. So now, almost 100 years later, things have drastically changed, and there's so much chaos in the societies all over the world. So this Krishna consciousness movement is to bring back God to the center. Is to bring God back to the center, to bring peace and happiness, to bring morality. Morality is a natural byproduct of God consciousness. Now they want to deny God, but they want to have morality. But you can't have morality without God. It doesn't work. Because if there's no God, then I have my version of reality, morality, you have your version of morality. Morality, you see. There has to be an absolute standard, not my opinion of what is moral in Europe. No, there has to be an absolute standard, one standard from the absolute authority. That's why we have to take Scripture as the authority. It's essential that Scripture has to be the guiding principle of our lives. But this point is being missed. Where is the government in the modern day world that's based on scripture? Governments should be based on scripture. You see? Of course, there are cultures now trying to base it on the Quran, but that scripture, unfortunately, is not completely pure. It's tinged with all kinds of things like meat-eating. Prabhupada explains the Bible and the Quran are meat-eater scriptures. You see? They don't emphasize pure devotion. You can find pure devotion mentioned in them, because that's the ultimate goal, actually, for every Muslim and Christian also, to become purely devoted to God. But it's not very clear in the Bible or the Quran what is the path of pure devotion. It's not very clear. It's very much obscured. But in the Gita, it's directly right out front. What you have to do to come to the point of purity in your relationship with God, you see. Even modern-day Hindus, it's the same disease. We're taking God as our order supplier. God, give me this, give me that, give me, give me, give me, you see. That's not pure love. That's using God for your own sense gratification. God, I want a new house. Please give me a new house. I want a new job. I want this. I. You see. This is going on in all the religions of the world. Instead of God-centered, they're me-centered. They're using God. I will accept God as long as when I pray to Him, He gives me what I want. Then I will accept Him. You see, that doesn't work. That's not pure love. That's selfishness. That's using God as your order supplier. Just like in the Bible, what is the prayer? Dear Father in heaven, please give us our daily bread. You see? That's not pure bhakti. Pure bhakti is, my dear Lord, please engage me in your service. How can I serve you? Ananyaschintayanto mang yejana paryapasate. Here's the insider's secret. When you actually come to the point of pure devotion, Krishna guarantees, I'll give you whatever you need. You see. You don't have to come to God begging, dear God, I need a new car, I need a new job, I need this, my kids are going for their finals today, they need to make an A+ in their exam, dear God, please. That's not the way to approach God. You approach Him with full surrender, and then everything will come of its own accord. Everything you need to be happy and fulfilled and perfect in your life will come. You have to put surrender to the Lord as the goal of your life. That's the key. Make surrender to the Lord the purpose of your existence. Not that you have some material idea of happiness and you want God to facilitate your material idea of happiness. That's an illusion. That's false. Castles made of sand are washed into the sea. So whatever plans we have for material happiness, they're all taken away by the material nature in due course of time. Our true happiness is to reestablish a loving relationship with God. This is what the great sages of India have taught for millennia. For countless millennia, they have taught us that we have to come to this point of total surrender to the will of God. So this is what a bona fide spiritual master teaches you. He doesn't teach you how to get your material desires satisfied. He teaches you how to live in such a way that you can fully satisfy the Lord's desires with every one of your thoughts, every one of your words, and every one of your deeds in all times, places, and circumstances. Such a mentality puts you in a position of freedom from all anxieties, and such a person actually is perfectly cared for by the Lord. Krishna says, he promises in chapter 9, text 22 of the Bhagavad Gita, as I quoted a minute ago, Ananyaschintayanchama. He says, for those who worship me with exclusive devotion, meditating on my transcendental form, I preserve what they have and I carry what they lack. Such a person who's fully dependent on God, Krishna, takes care of everything they need. Everything they need. There's no anxiety. Actually, God is the provider of everything anyway, you see. Bhaktaram jagatapasam sarvaloka maheshwaram. He owns everything. He can easily give us whatever we need. So instead of asking, give me this, give me that, give me this, give me that, we should say, please give me pure love for you, you see. That's what he wants. He wants our love. And if we love him, there's no problem for any of our necessities of life. Simply we have to have this one thing. We have to revive our lost loving relationship with God. So please, my dear ladies and gentlemen, please take these instructions very seriously. These are not my instructions. I'm just a messenger on behalf of Krishna. This is what Krishna wants you to do. He wants you to surrender yourself to him, to give up your approaching him simply for material things. He wants you to be completely surrendered to him. And just try this consciousness of surrender to the will of the Lord, and you'll be absolutely astounded how sweet it is, how peaceful it is, how joyful it is, how so much love and happiness fills your heart, and you can share it with everybody that you meet. Please don't miss this opportunity in the human form of life. There are 8,400,000 species of life. Now you are situated in a very rare position as a human being. Human life is meant to inquire, why do I exist? What is the nature of the absolute truth? The Tato Brahma Jigyasa. You're meant to inquire, what is the nature of the absolute truth? That answer is given in Vedanta Sutra. Janmajashajataha. The absolute truth is that from which everything is coming. That absolute truth is actually a person. His name is Krishna. So try to understand who is Krishna. Try to understand what is your relationship with Krishna. And try to make that relationship perfect. That will give you everything you could ever dream of having. It will give you everything you could ever want or aspire for in millions and billions of years. So please do not miss this opportunity to awaken your Krishna consciousness. So are there any questions? Here's a question. Well, the battery went bad. How can we go back to Godhead? So, this is a very nice question. Godhead means, right now we are in the material world. This material world is a place of where you live for a period of time, you get old, you get sick, and you die. And then according to your karma, you take another birth. And you keep doing this lifetime after lifetime after lifetime until you finally develop pure love for God, and then you return back to the spiritual world. In the spiritual world, there's no such thing as old age, disease, and death. Everyone lives a healthy, happy life as a youth for all of eternity. So that's our original home. We were originally in the spiritual world, but due to misuse of our minute independence, we wound up here in this place called the material world, which is meant to reform us from misusing our independence. So if you hear from the scriptures, if you hear from the bona fide spiritual master, then you will get the knowledge, the understanding, the guidance, the blessings, and the inspiration how to get back to your original position in the spiritual world. So that's the key. As a practicing devotee, how to set an example for others. Become pure. Become as pure as possible. Emphasize, always be very keen on entering into the mood of pure devotion. That's the key. How can we have a religious government when the present day government is secular? You have to make people Krishna conscious so they'll vote for a Krishna conscious government. It's the days of democracy. So you have to educate everyone in the science of Krishna. Start with your friends, start with your family members, or if they're not interested, start with strangers. Somehow or other, find a way to tell other people about Krishna, to share with them the science of Krishna consciousness. Because it's only by educating, in this days of democracy, it's only by educating the mass people who elect the leaders that we can get Krishna conscious leadership. We have to educate the mass population by distributing our books, by telling people about Krishna. These programs that we have invite more and more people to come, expand them more and more to where we have thousands of people coming together every night in different parts of the city. Thousands of people, you see, coming. This is only a small beginning. We should have thousands of people coming together. There should be hundreds of programs happening in Melbourne with thousands of people coming to each program, you see. In this way, we can gradually build up our numerical strength and we can elect Krishna conscious leaders to lead the government. How to increase the concentration during chanting so the mind does not wander? Well, you can ask Krishna to help you. My dear Lord Krishna, I'm chanting your name. My mind is going somewhere else. Please bless me that I can now deeply absorb my mind in the sweet transcendental sound vibration of your names. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. In this way, by begging Krishna to help you, he will help you. When we say Hari Bol, is that referred to the Lord Vishnu or Krishna? It refers to both of them. Both of them are Hari. If Lord Krishna is the incarnation of Lord Vishnu, why don't we focus on Lord Vishnu? Though both names are the same. Note the word if. Actually, Vishnu is a category. There are millions of Vishnus, not just one. Vishnu is the category of the personality of Godhead. There are two categories of living beings. There's Vishnu Tattva and Jiva Tattva. We mortals here, of course we're actually immortal, but we living beings, we are called Jiva Tattva. And the Supreme Lord in his unlimited incarnations, they're all called Vishnu Tattva. So there's one original Vishnu Tattva, and from him another Vishnu Tattva comes, another Vishnu Tattva comes. So the unlimited dislike you can take. There's a nice verse describing this in the Brahma Samhita. Dipachare vahita shantaramam yapetya dipayate vrvita hetu samanna dharma yastandrage vahita vishnu chayavavati govindamadi purusham tamaham vajami. The light of one candle being communicated to other candles, although it burns in them separately, is the same in its quality. I adore the primeval Lord Govinda, who exhibits himself equally in the same mobile manner in his various manifestations. So, there's actually only one flame. But that one flame, you can have, just imagine a room with 1,000 candles, and only one candle is lit. You can take that candle and touch it another candle. Now you have two flames. three flames, four flames, you see. Now you have 1,000 candle flames, but actually it's all just one flame that expanded it. You understand? There was only one flame, but it expanded to all 1,000 candles. So that is Vishnu, you see. They're all Vishnu. Vishnu Tattva. So the original candle is described as Krishna or Govinda in the scriptures. So we are called Vaishnavas because we understand Krishna and Vishnu, they are the same. That original Vishnu is Krishna himself. Krishna is the original Vishnu. So Krishna and Vishnu are the same. And the difference is that there, the other forms are also Vishnu. Balaram is also Vishnu. And Narayan, you see, Sankarshan, Prajumna, Aniruddha, Vasudev, there are all these different Vishnu avatars, Vishnu incarnations. But the original Vishnu is Krishna. So if you want to worship him as Vishnu, that's all right. But if you want to actually know the science in depth, you see, then you should know. What is that verse? 5:39. Yeah, after Premanjana. How does it begin? Huh? Ramandi Murti Shakalani Ameshna Tishtana Navataram Akarod Bhuvaneshu Kintu Krishna Svayam Samamabhat Parama Pumanyo Govindamadi Purusham Tamaham Vajami. I worship Govinda, the Prime Evil Lord, who manifested himself as Krishna and the different avatars in the world in the forms of Rama, Nrisimha, Vamana, etc. as his subjective portions. So that Govinda or Krishna is the origin of all the... He is the original Vishnu, and all the other Vishnus are his expansions, like one candle flame being expanded out into 1,000 candle flames. Bhagavatam says, Ete chang shakala pungsha, Krishna's tu Bhagavan svayam. The original Bhagavan or Vishnu is Krishna. Who is Lakshmi Devi's incarnation? Radha Rukmini. Actually, Lakshmi is an incarnation of Radha. Radha is the original female form. Just as Krishna is the original male form, Radha is the original female. And the others are expansions from Radharani. Okay, why do we forget Krishna when life becomes comfortable? That is due to false pride, so please learn how to become humble. How to become Krishna conscious and remain so always? Become very humble. Trinadapi sanichena tarorapi sahishnuna. Amanina manadena kirtaniya sadahari. One should chant the holy name in a humble state of mind, thinking himself lower than the straw in the street. He should be more tolerant than a tree. He should offer all respect to others without expecting any respect for himself. In such a state of mind, he can chant the holy name of the Lord constantly. So please develop this humility and this tolerance. That's how you'll be successful on this path of spiritual awakening. I have understood that it's karma, which is the reason for good people do bad things in life. My question is, how is this justified? Everybody, if you do something sinful, you suffer. If you do something pious, you enjoy. That's karma. It goes on without any deviations. If you're suffering right now, that means you're getting a reaction for some previous sinful activity. If you're enjoying right now, you're getting reward from some pious activity in the past. It's a very fair system of punishment and rewards based on pious and impious activities. There is another dimension, however, and that we are teaching you how to go beyond this realm of punishment and reward and enter into the realm of pure reward where there's no punishments. That is bhakti. That frees you from karma chakra. Krishna bhakti will free you from all the karma chakra. How can a person deal with regret of not doing something perfectly for the first time? Well, how many people do something perfectly the first time? We would be surprised if it's not surprising the first time you try something, you don't do it perfectly. Just like many of you, I can see that all of you here know how to walk. The first time you tried, were you able to stand solidly on your feet? Or did you fall down the first time you tried? Have you asked your parents? Maybe they remember. We all, practically everybody, falls down the first time they try to walk. So that's par for the course. It takes time to become good at something. What is the purpose of initiation of the devotee? Initiation means rebirth. Now you've taken shelter of the spiritual master. Your first birth is from your mother and father. That makes you on the caliber of an animal, actually. If you're not reformed by guru and scripture, you're in the category of animal. Initiation brings you to the human platform. The second mother and father is the guru is the father, and the shastra, the scriptures, are the mother, the Vedas. So initiation is to make you a human being. My child asked me a question. As Kunti Maharani gave birth to the Pandavas. Kunti gave birth to the Pandavas? Three of them, yeah. Three of them, yeah, okay. Not all of them. Pandu Maharaj had a curse that he could die immediately if he would associate with a woman in his life. So the question isn't stated here. Okay, is liberation from the material world the only purpose of the human life? Well, the ultimate purpose is that, yes. Now, if you want to take the human life to try to enjoy your senses, you can make that your purpose if you want. But I can assure you, you're not going to be fully satisfied by doing that, because that's on the material plane, you could say that's the purpose. But that's on the material plane. You're not that body. You're actually an eternal spiritual being. So to simply go after the purpose of material sense gratification, it may seem very nice in the beginning, but in the end, you'll become very frustrated of having lived your life in that way. If you want actual satisfaction, you need to take the ultimate purpose, which is to go back to home, back to Godhead. How do we get associated with the guru? By hearing. Hearing is the first thing. You hear from the spiritual master. By hearing, you establish a relationship with him. This is how my spiritual master established a relationship with his spiritual master. Srila Prabhupada established his relationship with Bhaktisiddhanta Sarasvati Thakur by hearing. So if you want to get connected with the guru and he's speaking, you sit down and you hear, you take it deep into your heart, as deep as you possibly can, and you inquire also, and you render service to him. That's how you'll get your connection with Guru, and that's how you become liberated from this material existence. Will the Guru find us? If you're sincere, he will. Krishna is called Chaitya Guru, the Guru within your heart. And he will, when you're serious to actually realize Krishna, he will send you a guru to now teach you the science of how to become perfect in love of God. But you have to be sincere to recognize it. You have to sincerely want to become spiritually awakened. If you are, when the guru comes, you'll realize, I just met my spiritual master, you see. But a lot of people, they meet a bona fide guru, but they don't realize that they're supposed to surrender. They don't understand that. They think it's, well, he has his opinion, I have my opinion. But that's not the way it works. The guru is where you fully surrender yourself. That's how it works, according to the teachings of Krishna, the supreme authority. Hare Krishna devotees are meant to be tolerant like the tree and humble like grass. However, sometimes some devotees are simply very rude. Perhaps this is your rudeness, that you're judging the devotees as being rude. You have to be careful. Yeah, you're really rude. Well, maybe you're being rude. Take a step back, become introspective. You're judging, oh, this person is rude. Well, maybe you were the one that was rude, you see. You have to become thoughtful and introspective. It's very easy to say, you're being rude, you see. But I was being rude, you see. So don't be so quick to say, yeah, these devotees are rude. Why don't you see what is the quality of rudeness in you that you're projecting onto them by your vision? Why don't you look for that? You see, I can guarantee you, if you behave in a very saintly way, people reciprocate with that. If you're a very kind and sweet and loving and gentle person, and you're not rude, you'll find that nobody's rude to you. So clean your own house. Instead of finding fault with your head, my next door neighbor keeps a very dirty house. Well, clean your own house, you see. Clean your own house. And then you'll see, actually, these devotees are wonderful. What does it mean to become pure? It means no more material desires. My only desire is to serve Krishna. That's purity. Any other question? Everyone satisfied now? Everybody ready now to take up the path of spiritual awakening very seriously? You ready? Who would like to take the path of self-realization very seriously? Raise your hand. Very good. So we have some help. My spiritual master encouraged me to write books. I asked him about it, and he told me yes. This pleases me that you write books. So this book is called Truth Works, and this book is based on the principle Truth Works. If something is true, you know it's true because it works. So how do you know that Krishna consciousness is a valid, legitimate process? That it's not just another hype. You know it's legitimate, you know that it's bona fide because it actually transforms your consciousness. It ultimately brings you to the point where you can directly see God face to face. You see? So in this way you know that the truth works, you see. If it's really true, it works. It actually will bring you to the point where you can see God directly face to face. So this book, it's based on my e-course. Actually, I have tons of questions. Every day I'm answering questions from all over the world about Krishna consciousness and how to achieve it and how to deal with all the difficulties we face in everyday life and without being disturbed by them. So we've taken the cream of the crop of the thousands of questions I'm bombarded with and I answer, and we put it in this book. And it's divided into different subjects. It'll be like, you know, let's see. Different levels of realization. Demigods, incarnations, and avatars. The absolute truth. chanting the Hare Krishna mantra, offering food to Krishna. All the basic ideas of your practice are presented in this book. And also how you present it to others if you're trying to explain it to them. So it's a very helpful book. We only have a limited quantity. And it's available tonight. And if you want to get a copy, you can come up. And I think there are... What is it?
Many of them have already gotten, so those who have not gotten, they should come forward.
Yeah. If you haven't gotten the book, come forward. And you give me your name and we'll write a special blessing for you in the book, so you'll have that along with your book.